Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of this program. It's an ensemble show, lots of good people around the table. And the host of the program, its organizer, its founder, its guiding light, is a marvelous woman by the name of Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. And she brings so much to this program. She'll be talking today with Bruce Grierson, the author of What Makes Olga Run, The Mystery of the 90-something Track Star, and What She Can Teach Us About Living Longer, Happier Lives. It's published by Henry Holt. And then some. We'll be joined by Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine, attorney Steve Wiseman, who will be conducting an interview about Social Security and Medicare, as well as telling us about the Death Master File. All that and more coming your way, so stick around. Now, let's kick the program off with the star of the show, Carol Marx, in conversation now with Dwayne Schenck. He's a former TV reporter who also started and ran multiple businesses and worked as a Fortune 500 corporate communications executive. He's going to talk to Carol about his new book titled Reset, How to Beat the Job Loss Blues and Get Ready for Your Next Act, published by DiCapo Lifelong Books.
You found yourself suddenly unemployed from a top 500 company. You never had been let go before.
Right.
You had excellent skills. So why did you think, okay, this is not a problem, I'll have a job in 6 months?
Well, you know, I mean, I had never lost a job, and I either had worked, you know, started my own companies or worked on my own. And, you know, I was blessed with a really good work ethic. Perhaps it, you know, I learned that from, you know, growing up. I think a lot of people learn that from their family, their parents, their grandparents. So I really enjoyed working. I always liked to work. But I always liked to do, you know, jobs where I had a lot of freedom to sort of think outside the box and just, I always had jobs where I made a lot more money than the typical, you know, college student. I started my own enterprises, whether it be painting businesses, or I worked on fishing boats where, you know, you'd be paid a lot of money if you worked really hard. But you know, what happened to me is I had a business, a communications PR business. I actually had two small companies, that, and I also had an employment, a very small employment business where we placed highly specialized graphic designers that did special effects for TV and motion picture. And what happened when the recession, the Great Recession, quote unquote, hit, the bottom fell out of not, you know, obviously thousands of businesses, and we were affected. We were small. We were losing clients. My anchor clients pulled back. They were laying off internally. They were letting go, specifically on the PR side of things for me. PR advertising tends to be the first thing to go. So I saw the writing on the wall that I needed to go out and find a job with, you know, a healthy company. And so I went out and did that. And then so less than 2 years later, I was let go. That was in 2012. And although supposedly the recession was over, roughly 2009, near the end of that period, as far as the job market went, as far as finding jobs, it was far from over. It was a nightmare. Now, I was still carrying with me this whole idea that, well, I'll just make things happen, because that's what I always did. But market reality set in, and geographics set in, and it became very clear fairly quickly that, wow, this is a lot more difficult than I expected in finding a job. You know, it didn't matter my skill sets. It didn't matter that I was a senior level. It didn't matter that I was willing to take less money and take a lower level job. You couldn't find a job.
Well, you know what I liked so much about your book is that you were so honest, and you said, you know, talking about not having a job a year later, that really it was like experiencing a death in the family and going through the five stages of grief, and you were stuck in the anger stage, and that must have been very, very hard to deal with.
It is, and I think most people will relate. The book is, it's a very honest, I sort of wrote it like the canary in the coal mine, and I was very open and honest about my experience, because you know, when it came about, the idea of even writing the book, partially the reason I wrote the book was, you know, I couldn't find anything out there that really talked about the psychological effects of joblessness and job loss during this unprecedented time. And how are people coping? How are they keeping their identity and their sanity while looking for a job during the worst job market since the Great Depression? And you do go through the stages of grief. You do go through, you know, depression and anxiety or anger or, and I was very honest and open as my journey went forward. But there's a lot of hope in the book, and there's a lot of reinvention in the book. And the whole book is really about that. It's like you start to see as you're cruising through the book, I'm bringing in lots of expert advice, and really, and actually the book is quite entertaining and funny in a lot of sections. So, but it's chock full of information on how to help you land quicker. So the book doesn't really dwell so much on depression or all the things, but it definitely is an honest narrative about what it's like, and people are relating to that. I mean, I get at least half a dozen emails a day from people who are reading the book and saying how it's changing their life.
That must make you feel really, really good. And, you know, I think, Dwayne, that nothing happens by chance. And you were out to dinner with your wife and a longtime friend, Mika Brzezinski, co-host of SNBC's Morning Joe. And you let her have an earful about what you were going through. And she gave you, I think, the most wonderful advice, and it was positive, about reinventing yourself, and you're going to be successful, but you may land in a different place, and I think that was such great advice.
It was fantastic. I mean, it was amazing advice, and when I heard it, I was in denial. I mean, we were sitting there eating, and I've known Mika forever, so I know her just like as a good friend growing up, and when I started explaining and articulating my situation, she was shocked because she had gone through the same thing, and she lost her job at the pinnacle of her career working at CBS, where she was contributing to 60 Minutes, and she was anchoring CBS News, and then she had lost her job, and then she had to start at the very bottom at MSNBC, doing news cut-ins. I mean, making no money, huge blow to the ego. And then she started working her way up. Well, she said to me, she said, look, you need to write about this experience. Your core skill sets, one of them is writing and, you know, communicating. And I think that you will help thousands of people. And besides, it will keep you busy. And perhaps you'll reinvent yourself doing this. And that's exactly what happened. Now, at the time, it was hard to visualize. First of all, it took me a week just to sort of think to agree to even write the book. But she did say, look, I will write the foreword if you write the book. And I thought, that's a good challenge.
And she did a great job in the foreword. Now, you talk about a lot of very useful things. And one of them for job seekers, of course, is that updated resume. And that everyone hopes is going to get them an interview, but you write resumes operating in brand new territory, and it's been replaced by something called the LinkedIn profile. So what is that all about, and what are the things that today's employers like about having the people who want an interview go online and get it done at the site?
I think what's important to know is that LinkedIn is a social network. It's really a social network for business, and most people have heard of it, and so it's not completely foreign. I wouldn't say that it is replacing the resume, but I will say this, that it is the de facto way that recruiters today and employment searchers look for candidates to hire. What they will typically do is get a resume, and they'll look at the name, and they may scan it briefly, but they will jump right to the LinkedIn profile, because really that's a virtual resume, and they will see who they're connected to. They can see what groups you belong to. They can see a lot of information really quickly, and it allows them to see, because you can use keywords, what is this candidate's competencies, and it really is the tool. And recruiters also, when they go searching for somebody, they will put in keywords to a search, and your name can pop up if you have a good profile on LinkedIn. So I just wanted to stress, and I touch more high level in the book about, you know, how important social media is today and how important your reputation is online. And you know, I think that, that anybody looking for work, you cannot ignore social media today. And it's nothing to be afraid of. I mean, the book, it's interesting. I get letters from people who just graduated college, and I get people who are in retirement and across the gamut. So, and I will say this, people that are middle age and above tend to be a little more nervous or don't feel they understand what social media is all about. And all I keep saying is that there's nothing to be worried about, because all it really is a communication tool. It just happens to be technology, the technology in which, you know, you communicate with. But it's very simple. But you have to embrace it. Whether, you know, I mean, a lot of people have Facebook these days, but LinkedIn is really the businessman's Facebook.
That's Dwayne Shank in conversation with Carol Marks. The book is titled Reset, How to Beat the Job Loss Blues and Get Ready for Your Next Act, published by DeCapo Lifelong Books. If you want more information, go to the website resetyourfuture.com. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Carol Marks returns in conversation with Bruce Grierson when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it. Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment. Or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we continue now to hear the interview workmanship of Carol Marks. She'll be talking with Bruce Grierson in this segment. He's the author of a book titled What Makes Olga Run? The Mystery of the 90-something Track Star and What She Can Teach Us About Living Longer, Happier Lives, published by Henry Holt.
Now, how and when did you first meet Olga Kotelko?
Well, Olga and I met about 5 years ago. Now, she was 89, coming on 90, and at that point she was well into her career as a track and field athlete, which she actually only started at 77. She took up the sport at 77, and she was making a name for herself in masters track. She'd already got a number of world records under her belt at that point, and it was kind of a phenom in that world. But that world is pretty obscure still. A lot of people don't even know about masters track. So, and I didn't know much about it, and so I got curious about Olga, and turns out that she and I live in the same city, so it was easy for me to make that first call to her, and it very quickly became clear that she was a phenomenal story, not just for a quirky human interest reason, but because she looked like she held some clues to the mystery of aging, because she was, however it works, and there's lots of theories about why and how we age and the rate we age, she was obviously defying some of the normal rules, because when I met her when she was 90, honestly, she looked 50. And she said she felt 50.
And isn't that wonderful to say that you feel like 50?
It's really astonishing. Yeah. In a lot of ways, she had more obvious energy than I did in my 40s. And so and the neat thing was she was a mystery to herself as well. And she said, I don't know how I do these things or how come I feel so young. And so we decided to I'm a science writer, and my interest was piqued to try to explore the science of aging through her, and she was game to go along for that ride and be a guinea pig because she was just as curious as I was. So off we went to try to crack the nut of Olga and aging.
And it's so interesting about the test. And of course she agreed to them, and one of the first things you always think about is our genes. Are they responsible? What did they find out about her genes? And another important thing we always think about is how long did our parents live? Because that's supposed to have something to do with living longer.
Mm-hmm. That's, I think, probably one of the first questions the doctor will ask you about. They want to know your family history because it's true that the best thing you can do is to choose your parents well if you hope to live a long and healthy life. Well, it turns out that Olga's family history is not that remarkable. You'd expect it would be. You'd think that she'd come from a long line of centenarians or something, but she doesn't. She's by far the longest lived of her 10 other siblings, and her parents didn't live particularly long, and her grandparents didn't live particularly long. So that itself gives you a clue that there's something that genes aren't the whole story with her. Even though we did some genetic testing, and genes are obviously part of the picture, there's definitely all kinds of lifestyle stuff that's going on. Something about the way she has lived her life, what she's been through, her strategies, her habits, even her attitude, that you have to look closely at.
And you did. And that's what makes the book so interesting. And she certainly had her share of hardships when she was in her 20s, 30s, and 40s. She had an alcoholic husband. She left him. She had to raise two children and be a single mom. And yet, you know, in the studies that are talked about in the book, it does say that sometimes stress can actually make us tougher. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's funny how we all think that we would like to have the softest possible ride through life, and maybe that would make us happy. But the science says that that's not the way to live a long and healthy life. What we need is tests along the way, tests that are just difficult enough that they really tax us, but that they don't overwhelm us. They talk about the sweet spot of just manageable difficulty. And if we get enough of those tests and we get to rest in between them, so they talk about acute stress rather than chronic stress. Chronic stress is if we're in a circumstance that just is relentless.
And that's not good. Around,
and there's no escape from it. Then that compromises us terribly and ages us and makes us sick and die earlier. But if we can rise to meet challenges along the way that really test us and tune our stress response, those are the things that make us gritty and tough. And Olga's had lots of those. And if you look back at some of the things you mentioned there, and just the hardships of growing up through the Depression on the farm. So in some ways, it's a generational thing that, I'm 50, and my generation sort of talks a good game about how tough we are, and look, we go in marathons and things, but really we can't hold a candle to what that generation did.
And you were right there, and you know, when you look at Olga and the research tests, you know, they were really trying to find the causes of how amazing her athleticism is and the fact her bones are so resilient. And what really strikes me in hearing her speak is she is just sharp as a tack, mm-hmm. and her memory is great. And when you looked at the benefits of exercise, because they measured those things in her body, mm-hmm. what made you say in your book that, hey, everybody should begin now?
Mm-hmm. Well,
move.
Yeah, I know. It's funny how for so many years we thought that exercise worked kind of like compound interest in your bank account, that if you got a good start, then you were fine. But if you hadn't been paying in for all these years, if you just were sedentary until you were in midlife, then, you were kind of too late, and you didn't really need to, or you wouldn't benefit a whole lot by starting an exercise program or even getting active in your 50s, 60s, 70s because it was just too late. But we now know that that's totally not true, that you can, it's hard if you've been just sitting to get going again. It takes effort and it takes other people helping you. But once you can get started, you can really start to accrue some major health benefits pretty quickly, and even in quite late into old age. And you mentioned the idea that how sharp Olga is, and she is. And partly that seems to be a function of how active she's been for her whole life, because we know that exercise helps just about every body system, but it's really remarkable how it shores up the parts of the brain that are so vulnerable to aging, the hippocampus, which stores and consolidates memories and so on. Aerobic exercise, even walking, has been shown to, really significantly arrest the decline that happens in that part of the brain. And we did some brain scans on Olga that revealed as much. It was really a remarkable thing to see on a screen in front of you, the payoff for having lived an active lifestyle.
That's Bruce Grierson in conversation with Carol Marks. His book is titled, What Makes Olga Run? The Mystery of the 90-something Track Star and What She Can Teach Us About Living Longer, Happier Lives, published by Henry Holt. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Kevin Casey, the Executive Vice President and Editor of Talkers Magazine. We're going to talk a little bit about the media. I think we're going to take a trip to Russia and the Olympics. That and more coming your way when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do. And I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We're joined at this point in the show by our definitely two-feathered hat friend. He is both the vice president and executive editor of Talkers Magazine, as well as being a senior correspondent on this program. Talkers is the trade publication in the talk radio world, so we peer into that a bit when Kevin Casey joins us. Kevin, welcome back to A Touch of Gray. And I know that they're talking about the Sochi Olympics, which have been going on now for the past week or so, with lots of news. And I guess the Olympics spans a large swath of territory in the talk radio world, from sports talk for the sports involved to political talk for the geopolitics involved. What's your take on it?
It really is all-encompassing, isn't it? I mean, you're right. The sports talk stations talk about it. The news talk stations talk about it from the geopolitical perspective. And you know, and it crosses over, too. The sports talk guys do talk about the other aspects of it, and the news talk guys sometimes get really involved in the actual sporting aspect of it. So it's a fun time, in a way, for talk media, because there actually is a lot to talk about, and there's always some quirky stories that come out of it, and it's generally different every year.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned something about the sports guys. Guys talk about the politics, and the politics guys talk sports. One of the funny things about radio talk is that talk show hosts are always afraid to go off message because they're afraid that they will not appeal to the people that tune in for specifically what they do.
Yeah.
But they love any opportunity they can to do that. The sports talk guys love when they have something that they can legitimately talk about that's outside the X's and the O's and the personalities of the game.
Yeah.
Even if it's tragic and horrible, they just want to be able to talk about something else.
Yeah.
It's sort of like back in music radio when a new record came out and the playlist changed and you got to play it for the first time before you knew it would burn out in your head, you know. And I find, I don't know, back to the politics of it, I gather, just stepping back and looking at the tone of how people have been talking and covering this Olympics, that there seems to be a tremendous amount of anti-Russian sentiment. It almost is a holdover from the Soviet days, and Putin reminds people of the harsher, more, I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and I think you're right about that. I think that there's definitely a certain anti-Russian sentiment, especially in the United States, people who remember the Cold War. It's always right. Fun to say the Ruskies and stay, you know, I mean, it's like having an adversary, you know, it's like, in the world of politics, it's like, you know, the Yankees are to the Red Sox or something. It's one of those fun things to build up and talk about.
Yeah, it's also back to, you know, the new record, the old record. It's getting back to dealing with an old adversary. It's like enough of, you know, the Middle East. It's like we've been dealing, you know, we went so long where the enemies were the Russians, and before that the Germans. And now, you know, it's like all these people that, you know, used to be the subjects of movies, we never thought of, you know, flying carpets and all that. Thought about the Middle East as being the big enemy in the 21st century. It's a funny thing, and the years keep rolling on, and things change. And alliances, your enemy becomes friend, friend becomes enemy. Human condition is just endlessly frustrating. So on that note, thank you for joining us, Kevin Casey from Talkers. If folks, you want to know what's going on at Talk Radio, go to talkers.com. Kevin Casey is our senior correspondent here, and he is the executive editor, vice president of Talkers Magazine. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Grey continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're going to be joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. First, now, he's in conversation with Max Richman. Max Richman's the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, and he's the former staff director at the Senate Special Committee on Aging, and he's a 16-year veteran of Capitol Hill. He's going to talk about the doctor fix.
The first thing I want to ask you about, Max, is something that I know is very important, but I really didn't know a lot about, and that is the sustainable growth rate provision of the law. What is that, and how is it being changed?
Well, the sustainable growth rate, commonly called the SGR, is a formula that has been in place for quite a long time that sets reimbursement rates for doctors who treat Medicare patients. And it's a formula that was designed to minimize those reimbursement rates, but it has resulted in a situation where doctors are concerned that the reimbursement would be so low, have been for years, that they would be unable financially to continue treating Medicare beneficiaries. So each year, this reimbursement rate has basically been overridden by the Congress by extending the current formula so that these cuts in reimbursement rates are not imposed on doctors, and that's commonly called the doc fix, the doctor fix. Where we're at now is if there is not either a permanent correction and change in the way doctors are reimbursed or an extension of the reimbursement rates so the cuts are not imposed, doctors would, in a few months, be receiving reimbursement rates for treating Medicare beneficiaries 24% lower than is currently allowed, and that would be a devastating cut. And I think I do believe many physicians would be forced to deny treatment to Medicare beneficiaries because the reimbursement rate would not even cover their costs.
Now, in the past, and I'm a professor at Bentley University, and when I've talked about certain kind of laws, I've said, well, Congress couldn't be stupid enough to do something. And I've had to change my tact because over the past few years, it's become so dysfunctional that now nothing down there surprises me. What is your thought as far as prediction, as far as changing the SGR?
I think it's going to happen. I think that the Congress, at least the majority of the Congress, realizes that continuing this pattern for years now of reducing or threatening the reduction in payments is not the best way to set a reimbursement formula. And what's happened now in both the House and the Senate, the Ways and Means Committee in the House, the Finance Committee in the Senate, they're preparing legislation that would provide a permanent fix by changing reimbursement rates so that they are based on outcomes, not on costs.
Interesting. Now, that's a pretty significant change and also somewhat bipartisan. Are you heartened by this, and do you think this has a good chance of passage?
Well, we support this new approach that would look at, instead of a quantity of care, really quality of care, basically. The issue will really come down to how is this paid for.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to require more revenue from the government, and I'm not sure how that'll play out. I do know that we have contacted both the House and the Senate. We want to make sure that these costs are not shifted to patients.
Because,
you know, they can't afford it. That's the bottom line. Half of all Medicare beneficiaries are living on less than $22,000 a year, and they cannot afford increased out-of-pocket costs for their Medicare coverage. You know, keep in mind that there's a lot of health care costs that are not even covered by Medicare. It's a great program. It's a wonderful program. Does it cover hearing loss, hearing aids, hearing aid batteries? No. Does it cover dental care? No. Vision care, you know, eyeglasses? No. So these are all out-of-pocket costs that are borne by Medicare beneficiaries. So to have additional costs put on them to pay for a new formula would be something we would strongly oppose. And I'm encouraged that that won't be the way the Congress ends up paying for it, by looking towards beneficiaries.
You know, one of the things that I thought was very positive about Medicare in recent years has been the addition of some new services, particularly examinations early on when someone first applies for Medicare, because to a great extent we don't have a health care system. We have a sick care system in the sense that we react after the fact. And is there more of an effort to try and put more preventive care services into Medicare that can be both better for people's health and also more cost effective?
Well, that's a great question. And in fact, what has been so disturbing about the attacks on the Affordable Care Act, particularly on the impact on Medicare, is that, to be blunt about it, all these attacks are lies. The Affordable Care Act for Medicare beneficiaries provides more care and at a lower out-of-pocket cost. So seniors on Medicare under the Affordable Care Act, they get more and they pay less. So that's a good deal. And it's, and what they're getting is what you just talked about, preventative care. Since the Affordable Care Act was signed into law, Obamacare, Medicare beneficiaries get a wide variety of preventative treatments with no out-of-pocket costs for the first time ever since Medicare was created in 1965. So, besides a one annual wellness visit with no out-of-pocket cost, things like colonoscopies, diabetes screening, mammograms, those are all paid for through the Medicare program with no copay, no out-of-pocket cost. So as you point out, not only does this make good sense in terms of reducing long-term illnesses, it ends up costing less. Unlike the attacks on the program that it diverted $716 billion out of the Medicare program, those reductions came from providers, from in providers like hospitals, insurance companies, not out of Medicare beneficiaries' pockets. So again, what your listeners need to remember, I think, is the Affordable Care Act improved the program by adding all these treatments with no out-of-pocket costs, reduces the cost of prescription drugs, the donut hole will be closed over time, and extended the life of the Medicare program by 7 years. So it's a good deal for anybody who's on Medicare. There's no question about that.
You know, you bring up a good point, because there is such misinformation about the Affordable Care Act. There is such misinformation about Medicare. Where can people go for information that they can rely upon?
Well, they could go to our website, www.ncpssm.org. They can also, we have a group of member services staff that can help guide callers. If they call our toll-free 800 number, it's 1-800-225-1935. I'm sorry, 966-1935. We recently changed it. So it's 1-800-966-1935. Easy to remember, because that's the year Social Security became law, 1935. Yeah.
Max Richman in conversation with Steve Wiseman. And if you'd like more information, you can go to ncpssm.org. Do you remember that? Do it again. ncpssm.org. Steve Wiseman returns, and he's going to talk about the Death Master file. That's next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in just a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we're going to continue to speak with Steve Wiseman. Now he's going to put on his attorney and anti-scam hat, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire, the man who wrote The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall, the man who runs the website scamaside.com, one of the nation's leading experts and scam fighters. He's an expert on fraud and con artists. They are afraid of him, and they should be. He's here now to talk about the Death Master file. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, although the Death Master file sounds like a list kept by Darth Vader, it's actually a federal database that contains the names and social security numbers more than 83 million dead Americans. Now, the list was initially established to help federal agencies, insurance companies, tax collectors, and others be able to prevent fraud by being able to confirm when someone has died so that further lifetime benefits wouldn't be issued under that name. However, as an unfortunate byproduct of the Death master file. Identity thieves regularly check it after getting names from obituaries. By the way, the file is available to absolutely anyone. And they get the social security numbers for recently deceased people. They then access credit in the names of the deceased, as well as file phony income tax returns on behalf of the deceased, and the IRS pays them a refund, and use other identity theft tactics. Well, Congress finally was able to reach a budget agreement in December and stop the federal shutdown. A part of that budget law included removing public access to the DefMaster file. However, as we're speaking today, the list is still available to anyone, well, we'll get into that in a moment, including identity thieves, because the National Technical Information Service, the federal agency that manages the DefMaster list, hasn't closed it down because they still need to make provisions for access to the list by organizations that need the information for legitimate purposes. It's expected this process could take months before it's completed. Meanwhile, a recent study by the GAO, the General Accountability Office, indicates that some federal agencies who need this information to prevent fraud aren't getting the access that they need. So what does it mean to you? Identity theft from dead people is a significant problem, but there are steps to do to limit this as a problem in your own family. First, you should consider limiting the personal information you put into a family member's obituary, because this information is exploited by identity thieves to assist them in making your deceased family member a victim of identity theft. Additionally, you should contact the three major credit reporting bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, to inform them of the death of your family member and to instruct them to close the credit report of that family member in order to avoid someone with access to your family member's Social Security number from getting access to their credit report to make large purchases. You also want to contact any other financial institution, credit card issuer, or anyone that the deceased had some kind of financial connection with. You do that, you close it down, and then you're going to be able to protect your deceased from just one more identity theft shot.
Thank you, Stephen. J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. And again, he's written The Truth About Avoiding Scams. Prentice Hall's the publisher. Go to scamicide.com to find out the latest on scams and to protect yourself from becoming their next victim. Steve Wiseman, a regular member of our interesting roundtable of participants, a senior correspondent. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Beverly Santanello, our producer on the front line. And, of course, thank you very much to Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine. And I want to thank Carol Marks, the host and founder of this wonderful program that I have the privilege to serve on as anchor. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.